Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Bring us healing and salvation, O Jesus. Hosanna in the highest.
Good morning and welcome to worship on this Palm Sunday. On behalf of the people of Central Presbyterian Church, I'm glad you're able to join us. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! I hope you enjoyed our virtual Palm Parade. A special thanks to all of you who sent in your own version of the Parade of Palms on this special day. I want to make sure that you know a few things that are happening. Several of you have asked about the One Great Hour of Sharing. I want you to know you can, of course, send checks to the church and just put that in the memo line, One Great Hour of Sharing. Or you can use our online giving program, which you can access at the church's website. Just look for online giving. When you go to the giving website, just use the special offering line, and that is what we will use for our One Great Hour of Sharing offering this year. I also want to ask for some of you to help with liturgy. I would love to have more than just my voice be on these recordings. So if you are interested in helping out with one of our services, please let me know. You just need to be able to record yourself. Even your telephone will work. So give me a call or an email if you're interested in helping out in that way. And then I want to make sure you know that there is a time every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on Facebook Live. We host a time for prayers of the people, if you'd like to join that and share your prayers there. We also offer anyone who wants to the opportunity to send in prayers during the week. You can email me or send them to the church email, and we'll make sure those are included in our prayer time during the week and in our prayers of the people during our service. So join us either way you want to continue in prayer. And now let's continue our service with a call to worship. The way has been prepared. For the crowd, it is the way of celebration. For Jesus, it is the way of completion. Amid shouts and waving palm branches, he comes into the holy city. Open your hearts this day to receive our Savior. Open wide your hearts and receive Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll begin our worship with hymn number 199, filled with excitement.
Excitement on the happy throng, spread cloaks and branches on the city streets. There in the distance they begin to see, there on a donkey comes the Savior Christ. From every corner a thousand voices sing, praise to the one who comes in the name of God. Our acclamation rings forth in shouts of praise, our triumphant song of joy.
Hosanna, Hosanna to
by our poor choices, worn down by our foolish words, we struggle to be faithful followers of Jesus. Yet it is precisely in such moments that God comes with that love which never gives up, that grace which is always offered freely to us. So let us come now with our prayers to the gates of God's own heart, so we may enter forgiveness and life anew. Please join me in a spirit of prayer. O God, we stand at the gate, hesitant and uncertain. We are reluctant to answer your invitation. We're slow to embark on the journey toward your reign. Have mercy upon us. Grant us the help we need to be your people, the courage to join you in the procession, the selflessness to lay our cloaks before you, the freedom to lift our palms to your glory, and the confidence to believe that by your grace, we are forgiven and made free. Hear us now as we make our silent confession. Amen. Hear this good news. Our tears are mingled with those of God. Our sighs are held in the heart of grace. Our emptiness is filled with hope and peace. The procession is moving ever forward, and we can join at any moment. The invitation always stands. Hesitantly, hopefully, we will walk into Jerusalem with Jesus and beyond. For everything is done for us, and we can rejoice with praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, you're forgiven and made free. Glory be to God. Amen. Hear now hymn number 597, Holy, Most Holy Lord. Join me in a spirit of prayer. God of courage, give us wisdom that we may sustain the weary with our words. As we speak, help us also to listen and follow where you lead. Amen. Our scripture text this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning with the first verse. When Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that their master needs them." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said. "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you humble and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off of trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Friends, this is the witness of Scripture. Thanks be to God. This is the week we usually hand out palms and wave them as we sing Hosanna together in the sanctuary. I want to send a special thank you out to everyone who so creatively found ways to do that so that we could have a parade for our worship service this morning. Just like the first followers, you found what you had and used it so that we could sing praises to God. I've always loved imagining what that first palm parade must have sounded like and looked like and felt like. When I was a kid, I imagined it a little bit more like a 4th of July parade, and I think I kind of wished that Jesus was throwing candy out from the donkey to the children in the crowd. Of course, it was much more simple than that. What I didn't know then is that the parade led by Jesus wasn't the only parade into Jerusalem that week. While Jesus was sitting on a borrowed donkey on a saddle of sorts made from his disciples' cloaks, when he was entering Jerusalem with the other Passover pilgrims from the countryside who were calling out Hosanna and waving their leaves, there was another parade happening on the other side of town. The Romans, you see, also liked parades. And when Romans put on a parade, well, it was all about military might and a show of wealth and power. It was about reminding people in the provinces who it was they would have to contend with if they spoke up or acted out or in any way disturbed the Pax Romana, the so-called peace brought about by military force. This Imperial Roman parade would have included the cavalry on horseback, a whole regiment of war horses marching into the city, as well as foot soldiers in full armor, complete with sharp weapons, shiny helmets and shields, and bright banners with golden eagles on the top of tall poles gleaming in the sun. This procession was there to remind the people of one thing: Rome is in charge and you are not. Pontius Pilate, like the Roman governors of this region before and after him, preferred to spend most of his time nearer to the sea rather than hanging around in Jerusalem. But he wanted to be in Jerusalem this week, with plenty of reinforcements, for this was time for the holy festival of the Passover. When a group of people, a group of your subjects, gather together to celebrate a religious holy day that commemorates their God freeing them from enslavement, a holiday that relives the story of God liberating people from tyranny, well, when that's going on, the current oppressors want to make sure they have their troops in place to deal with any trouble that might arise. And so Pilate came to Jerusalem, and so did the troops, and they made a show of coming. They used their parade to remind the people they were in power, to remind the Jews that Rome was in charge, and not just here on earth. This show of might was a reminder to those in the provinces that Caesar was not only their leader here and now in Jerusalem and the surrounding countryside, but also that Caesar was, according to Roman law and theology, the very Son of God. This parade was to march through the holy city of Jerusalem, proclaiming it was Caesar who should properly be addressed as one's Lord and Savior, for it was Caesar who had brought the people peace on earth. As this grand, noisy, flashy procession was entering the city through the western gate, with all their might and power, their political power and military power, all their glittering gold symbols. On the other side of town, something else was going on. On the other side of town was Jesus, coming through the eastern gate, entering through the back door of sorts, not coming on a mighty war horse, not entering the gates with trained army fully outfitted with soldiers in all of their glory, but instead riding in on a donkey, surrounded by the folks he had spent the last several years traveling the countryside to meet. The people he met while preaching and teaching and healing. Not the power brokers from the wealthy landowning families who had joined forces with the Roman Empire, but the peasants and those who worked the land. It isn't the richly robed who are throwing their cloaks on the ground as Jesus enters, but the ones who've been ignored and treated as less than human. It's the women and the children who aren't even considered capable of citizenship by the Romans. It's the poor and the sick who are seen as nothing but a liability by others. It's the fishermen and the shepherds and the tax collectors, not the folks from polite society. These are the ones lining Jesus' parade route and shouting, Hosanna. This is the parade the common folks chose to participate in rather than the Roman show of force. It's easy to march into town when you have an army to protect you. Pilate wasn't taking any chances as he made his way into Jerusalem. But Jesus was. Jesus knew the other parade was there. Jesus had been trying to teach and show the people that the real kingdom of God had nothing to do with Caesar or the Pax Romana. Jesus, like the prophets of old, had been telling them that the wealth of a few used to oppress the many was just not the way of God. He had been teaching about true peace, about real justice, about the holistic healing of people and of the nations. And Jesus knew the powers that be weren't going to like that very much. Jesus told his followers he expected to be put to death. He knew this Passover pilgrimage to Jerusalem, this strange procession, which seems a bit more like a planned demonstration, well, it was just the beginning. The people who benefited from the status quo against which he was preaching weren't so thrilled that this Jesus guy had a following. And now here he was, making a mockery of those who did have power. Here he was, entering the city from the other side of town and showing the people once again that Rome wasn't the only way, that Caesar wasn't the only way, that he was here to show them another way. And in fact, he was another way. And his way was and is the way of love. His way, the way he shows us this week in particular. This is a way that put fear into Rome and the leaders in Jerusalem, because Jesus's way is one that topples empires. What Jesus does this week we call holy, sets in motion generations of vigilant witnesses to the gospel of hope and love for all. It's the beginning of the persistent belief by those who choose to follow Jesus that there is fellowship, even in the midst of betrayal, and love despite despair. That while there might be suffering when there is no other choice, and though death might be inevitable, that's not the end of the story. There's a promise of new life for all. This parade is the beginning of a movement that continues to have power today. The kind of power that calls for people to not only question the status quo, but to live in a life of what one theologian calls habitual revolution and reformation. And that, friends, that is the parade we are all invited to join. We're called to ignore the flashy parades that are meant to instill fear, the distractions that are designed to divide us, the ones that hold up false idols and demand we spend our lives in service to them. Sure, we can't actually parade around the church today waving our palm branches, but just as we were able to parade in our own way and in our own places today, we're invited to choose the other way every day. We're invited to join in the Jesus parade. His is the road we're called to travel as we make our way through life as followers of Christ. But it isn't an easy path. It can be a challenge to walk with intention toward the future, especially when we can't know what the outcomes will be. We get nervous even taking steps that we can see right in front of us when we don't know where they'll lead eventually. And if the last few weeks and months have reminded us of nothing else, people are particularly afraid to take steps into the unknown. The path of Jesus, it might even be harder than that, because we do know the destination, and it's one that we find challenging. We may not know all the details about where Jesus is leading us, but as he calls us, he tells us the way is narrow. He lets us know we'll have to take up our cross. He doesn't just predict difficulty. He promises that this way will include some dying. But he also speaks of rising and of life in abundance. There's a mysterious thing that happens when people choose to follow Jesus where he leads them. They become less concerned with the challenges and the dying that might be in their way, because they understand they're not alone. And they understand that the dying isn't where things end. They understand that courage and grace are given to those who walk in the way of Christ. And they begin to see that when they receive the courage and grace to follow Jesus, any dangers they thought were there suddenly have less power over them. Because they're the ones choosing the path, it's a way to enter any future, not as a helpless victim, but as those who know the power of love and life, even in the face of anger or hatred or fear or division, even in the face of death. You see, this path of Jesus, this parade route, is the one that leads us more fully into who we were meant to become. That's why this day is part of the week we call holy. It teaches us what it means to join the Jesus parade. It shows us what being a follower of Jesus is all about. It reminds us when we're frustrated or fearful or filled with despair that we knowingly walk in the way because we know that love and life are ultimately in charge. When things get hard, we choose Jesus. And as this week unfolds, we will be reminded again that we can make it through Friday and Saturday because we know Sunday is coming. We're surrounded by those who would distract us with parades of military might, with shows of political power, with flashy evidence of misused wealth, with misinformation to confuse us. But these are not our parades. Our parade is making its way through the other gate. We're invited to turn our backs on the Roman march that preaches a lie of peace through violence. We don't have to pledge allegiance to a system that allows the wealthy few to oppress the many. We can resist messages that seek to divide us from our neighbors by spreading rumors and lies. Instead, we can make the time to pray and to serve others. We can choose to follow the God of love and life, whose example is one of a humble servant. We can lift our voices and we can shout, "Hosanna, save us," as we join in the ragtag parade ushering in the kingdom of God. Knowing the way won't be easy, but certain it will lead to life. What does that way look like for you? What road do you need to travel in order to meet Christ, the one who is coming towards us humble and riding on a donkey, preaching peace and justice, love and life? A Franciscan monk has been quoted as saying, "My life's work is to go on a pilgrimage to who I am." This Holy Week and beyond, may we make that pilgrimage as we join in the parade of life. Amen. And now we'll listen to a beautiful piece of music played by our own Dan Rennan, entitled "The King Shall Come." Please join me now in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, on this Palm Sunday, we have so many mixed feelings inside of us. We remember Christ's entrance into Jerusalem with the people shouting praises and waving palm branches, and we join them with our own praises. And yet we know what is coming. We remember that soon, instead of the crowds singing praises, they will be shouting crucifixion. Our hearts are broken by those shouts and by the violence and suffering that is endured by so many even today. We're all too aware that in spite of all that you have done to offer us life and grace and freedom and hope, there are still many who don't have hope in our world. There are still many in need of grace, many in need of love, many in need of justice and healing. Today, we lift up all the parts of your world that are broken with violence and suffering. We hold before you all the ways that the very earth itself is being hurt. And God, you know, on our minds and our hearts are the situation with this virus that is ravaging the globe. Today, we lift up all those who are suffering with this illness, the many who grieve those who have been lost to it. And we also pray for those who are risking their lives to help save others. We lift up Dr. Sarah Coleman, an emergency room doctor here in Eugene. We pray also for the daughter of Dell and Lunita Hawkins, who's a triage nurse at Sacred Heart in the ER, and for their grandson, who's an EMT. There are many in our congregation who are nurses and healthcare workers, and there's so many in this community who are doing what they can to care for others. We pray that you would help them to keep safe, that you would make possible protective equipment, and that you would empower all people to do their part so that our healthcare systems are not overwhelmed. We pray also for those who are ill with other concerns in the midst of this crisis, those who are facing surgeries that must be delayed, those who have to get treatments in the midst of a place that has many ill people. We pray especially for a woman named Sharon, a friend of a member who is facing cancer again and who started chemo treatment this week. We hold up all those who have weakened immune systems. And we just pray that people would continue to make choices to protect the health of the most vulnerable among us every single day. Help us do that every single day, Lord, even when this crisis is behind us. Help us see what we can do in our own lives to help protect those around us. Holy God, you know the many concerns of this congregation for their families, their loved ones, this community, and the world. We know and trust that you hear us when we call out to you. And so we hold before you all the prayers of this community. And we pray, Hosanna, save us. We ask you, Lord, to bring a parade into our lives and our churches, our cities, our countries. We pray you would heal us, transform us, renew us, draw us closer to you in this journey of Holy Week. Empower us with strength and courage and with the assurance that you are with us always. And now hear us as we bind together all of our prayers, saying together, even though we are apart, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as we go from this time of worship into Holy Week, let us promise, where Christ walks, we will follow. Where Christ stumbles, we will stop. Where Christ cries, we will listen. Where Christ suffers, we will hurt. When Christ dies, we will bow our heads in sorrow. When Christ rises again in glory, we will share an endless joy. There is no other way. Christ is the only way. Now go into this Holy Week with the blessing of God, who is with you always. Amen.